Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a great hymn to sing as we end one year and begin the new year, to know that this is where my confidence is placed, that Christ is risen. But in the midst of that, we still live our lives, and we still live lives kind of like the disciples, where after Jesus died, they didn't know what was going to happen next. They had no idea, no thought that Jesus could rise from the dead, because that's not what dead people do. Maybe even beyond their furthest dreams, they were realists. Dead men stay dead. So tonight I want you to think about, as you look at the future, as you look into the next year, do you look with more of an idea of a dreamer, someone who is excited that next year is going to be a new year, or are you more of a realist? You know, it's what it's going to be, and it's probably going to be about the same as this last year. So I have a short video to kind of get that in our minds tonight.
This year, this is my year, our year. Can you feel it? More motivation.
Motivation. Motivation.
Synergy.
Synergy. Synergy.
Adventure.
Adventure. Adventure.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Responsibility.
Intimacy.
Intimacy. Intimacy.
Achievement.
Achievement. Achievement.
Advancement.
Advancement.
Advancement. Determination.
Determination. Determination.
Focus. This is my year.
Honey, so? What do you think?
Yeah.
Motivation, integrity, determination, synergy.
Come on, honey. You're not even listening to me. I mean, I have a poster and everything this time. This is perfect. I mean business. Jack?
This is my year. I promise.
Oh, this is my year. I promise. Are you more of a dreamer, like the man who's, this is it, he's so excited, or a realist? Dreamers will often find themselves by saying, you know, this is my year. This is when it's going to be different. I'm going to reach those dreams. I'm going to do it. And the realist is going to say, well, that's what you said last year, right? A real dreamer is going to just look at life in the new year and say, wow. And just, it's an open opportunity, a blank slate. The realist is going to say, how? You know, tell me how. And it's interesting, I maybe you guys kind of put yourselves in a boat. Are you a dreamer or are you a realist? It's amazing how often God will put dreamers and realists and they get married, all right? You know, this kind of, you know, one kind of keeps you grounded and the other is just kind of off in space, you know, dreaming and going. And it's kind of how they complement each other, because they need that for one another. And as we enter this new year, whether you're a dreamer or whether you're a realist, whether you're excited for next year or if you look and say, it's an election year. Oh, it's going to, you know, whatever you might be thinking, I want you to look through the lens tonight of one word, of this word for 2020 as a year of possibility, a year of possibility. What I like about this word possibility, this is where dreamers live, right? They live in what could be. They live in the possibility of their dreams, of what could happen. But I think there's power in that, isn't there? There's power in that, having that outlook to say anything is possible. You know, Sadie, I'm sure a year or two ago you said, I'm going to run a marathon, all right? And your friend said, that's crazy. And you said, yeah, you're right. But it's, anything is possible. And you put your work in and you did it. You know, things are possible. And if you don't have those dreams, those goals, that vision, you know, sometimes you can get bogged down. Not just a realist, but you can become a pessimist. And I think that's the danger of realists, that when you look at this world and you just become so overwhelmed by things that don't work out, by those dreams that haven't worked out in the past, that you don't dream anymore, that you don't live in this land of possibility. You just dwell in what is. And so tonight, I want to look through this lens of possibility, because thanks be to God, it's not just us who is dealing with possibility, but we have a God who is at working in us, among us, and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I heard a saying about the Wright brothers. One example of dreaming with possibility: for all intent and purposes, the Wright brothers are the wrong brothers to have been built an airplane to fly, right? Maybe you knew what the Wright brothers' occupation was. They ran a bike shop, and they loved to watch birds, all right, and draw birds. And that was their background for flight. As they were drawing birds one day, one brother said to the other brother, "You know what? I bet we can harness the ability of the dynamics of flight of birds so that we can help man achieve flight." And, you know, the U.S. government gave $70,000 to a Mr. Langley to build a machine, a plane to get up in the air. But did he do it? Nope. But the Wright brothers, they spent less than $1,000 and they flew. Not across the ocean, but they showed that flight was possible. And so one of the biographers of them, the Wright brothers, David McCullough, wrote this about the brothers: "The fact that these guys had no business figuring this out, in no way did any of this discourage or deter Wilbur or Orville Wright any more than the fact that they had no college education, no formal technical training, no experience working with anyone other than themselves, no friends in high places, no financial backers, no government subsidies, and little money of their own, or the entire real possibility that one of them could be killed. Did that deter them? No, because they had a dream, right? And what was their dream? They were going to fly. And with hard work and determination and time and practice, they flew and changed the course of this world. And so what's your dream? What has God placed in your heart to think about, to pray about, to dwell on, to do something that others might look at you and say, "There's no way you can do that. You don't have the training. You don't have the education. You don't have the resources. You can't do that." I think this is important to work with, you know, whether you're retired or maybe if you still work, to say, you know, let's make sure that our main space that we work in is a land of possibility. This is where we want to own our space. Sure, we need at least a space in reality. We need to be grounded in somewhat. But the place to stay, the place to be, is to dream, is to say, what if, what could be, and then figure out the how, driving as God wants. So I want to give you a question tonight. Our question for you is this: what do you think is possible for you in the new year? Are you a New Year's resolute? Maybe you've already wondered this. You know, there's the annual. I want to lose 10 or 15 pounds. All right. I want to exercise more, maybe less screen time. What do you think is possible? Maybe grow your business. Maybe go on a trip. Maybe do something. What is possible for you in the new year? Maybe you want to get out of debt. Maybe you want to heal a relationship. There's so many things that you can say 2020 is the year for this to happen. All right. Any New Year's resolutions that you're willing to share? I'm going to put you on the spot. Anybody? Yeah, Dennis. That's a great goal. All right. Any other New Year's resolutions? Or are you guys all realists saying, I'm not going to keep it anyway why I said it, all right? And I just asked this question that actually leads me into the question I really want to ask you. And I think this is more, you know, what we as people of God need to be asking ourselves. What does God think is possible for you in the new year? Okay. As much as we might think and desire things, doesn't Scripture say a man can plan all he wants, but unless if God is behind it, man's plans will fail? And so what do you think if God is looking at your life and says, I want to do something new in your life. I want to do something in you, through you. What does God think is possible in your life? All right. Let me give you a little bit more. Let's say, you know, this is something for you. A change in you, in your life. And here's where I think God's word can really shape our vision, our dream, God's desire to shape us in 2020. I would suggest to you that God thinks love is possible in your life, that you can grow and abound in love for God and love for others. Do you think God desires that in your life? Do you think God desires for you to be more joyful? And God wants you to experience a peace that passes all understanding, to be content no matter what the circumstances, to live with patience, you know, to have this long-suffering perseverance, to be kind, so kind that people wonder, why are you so nice, right? Can you be so good that your goodness pours into the lives of others? Can you have a gentleness that you're able to give an answer for the hope that you have that doesn't turn people away? Can you grow in faithfulness? Can you grow in self-control? Do you recognize these words? Yeah, these are the fruit of the Spirit, all right? From Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Scripture says, these are the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read this verse together. Let's read this whole verse together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I love that last little line. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, God says nothing can stand, nothing can stop these from changing a person, from changing a world. And I think about these words. I think God desires our lives as Christians to bear fruit of the Spirit, and each year become more and more like Christ, to grow and say at the end of this year, I am more loving than I was at the beginning. Yes, no. I mean, just to think, reflect on that tonight. How am I doing? Where am I struggling? The amazing thing about this, sometimes if we think, well, it's just up to me to change, that's impossible, all right? If it's just for us to earn our salvation, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, right? And so Paul writes earlier in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But who lives in me? Christ does, all right? With man, this is impossible, but with Christ, all things are possible. The life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And so as I put this before you tonight, I put this knowing that we all come before God as sinners. We all have failures. We all make mistakes. We all don't live up to the standards that God has for us. We can just sit down and say, I give up. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, when he rose from the dead, he got up and he gave us a mission to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them and teach them and share that Jesus is with us always. And because Jesus is with us, because Christ is in me, all things are possible. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 1:6, that we can be confident of this, that God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. Get that? To completion in the day of Christ Jesus. That God is going to work in our life until our lives bear fruit in the day of Christ. And not only that, but it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. And if we ask God for wisdom, if we ask God for spiritual gifts, do you know what God's answer always is? Yes. All right. The scary thing is, if you ask God, I want to grow in patience, what's he going to put in your life? A whole bunch of tests, right? To try your patience, to say, trust in me. All right. You ask God for joy, God's going to give you some moments in your life where it's going to be, I don't know. And God says, find joy in me. If you're asking for grow in love, you know what God's going to put in your life? People that are really hard to love. And God says, love with my strength because I sent my son to die for them. Do they know it? I've sent you to tell them. Maybe with your words, but more through your love. And so this is my challenge for you. I read this, another pastor did this and challenged his congregation to do this. To look at these nine fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and choose one. Let 2020 be the year that you say, God, help me grow in love, joy, gentleness, self-control. And maybe the best way to do this is if you have a small group, a Bible study, a spouse, or a family, go to them and ask them, as you look at my life, which of the fruit of the Spirit do I need to work on most? All right, that's a scary question to ask, isn't it? And let me just say that Pastor gives you permission to just say one, all right? You can't go to multiple, all right? Just one, okay? And I actually did this with my family last night. And they said, wow, that's a tough question. And it's kind of a serious question. And I was surprised by the answer they told me I need to work on in 2020. They said, they didn't say Pastor, they said, Andy, all right, or Dad, I think you should work on self-control. Oh, drat. That silly discipline word, all right? So they came up with that for me to be disciplined about exercising. More disciplined about eating, making sure I'm spending time with the kids, and if when I'm home, to have that self-control sometimes to put down the phone, play a game, or have a conversation. So that's my goal for 2020, that I'm going to look back next New Year's and say, God, how have you worked in me a greater sense of self-control for your honor and glory? And the hard thing is self-control, all these other things flow into it, right? And so for your glory and honor, I want to grow in this fruit by your power. And so we do this now through prayer, through being in God's word, being in worship, be encouraged. Because can we do this on our own? With man, this is impossible, right? But through Christ, all things are all right, you guys were like, that was not, I need some cheering on here, all right? I'm like, oh, self-control, all right. With man, all these things are impossible, but with Christ, all things are?
Possible.
All right, say, Pastor Andy, you can do it. All right, thank you. All right. And so I give you permission. You guys are here New Year's Eve. Ask me, Andy, how you doing? All right. How are you disciplining yourself with a schedule, with living, a self-controlled life? Blech. All right, that's how I think about that, so that's probably what I really need, huh? So choose one. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your family members and ask them, how can God work through me to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? Choose one. focus on that. Maybe draw that on the mirror when you get ready in the morning. Put a sticky note in your car to say, God, help me bear the fruit of self-control. Or maybe it's for you, love, or peace, or patience, or kindness, all right? So that's my prayer for you. What does God think is possible for you in the new year? With man, all things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Your Spirit that brings us to Christ, that washes us clean, that when we fail, you bring us back to repentance and you lift us up. Lord, help us as we look at this new year to say, how can I grow in Christ? Not work, not accomplishments, but how can I develop and grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Lord, through conversations in our families, in our church family, help us to wrestle with this question. Is there one fruit of the Spirit to focus on this year? To say, I want to grow in this for your glory so that I can be used by you for a greater sense of proclaiming Christ. Allow us to be shaped and molded to be more and more like Jesus Christ in 2020. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.